We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios. Visit mte.com. Middle Tennessee Electric. Serving to make life better since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Attorney Thomas Mahalzo is on the air with us today from the law firm of John Day. And of course, you guys practice in Murfreesboro, Nashville, Middle Tennessee in general.
That's right. John founded this firm back in the early 90s. And now we've got locations right here in Murfreesboro on Medical Center Parkway, one in Brentwood, and we have one in Nashville. You know, at our law firm, we're an all-service injury firm. We handle all types of cases from slip and falls to car wrecks to medical malpractice. So if you're going to go to law school, it's always a good idea. If you're going to practice law, it's always good to represent folks in your community in those kind of cases.
And then what are the most common types of cases that you see?
Car wrecks definitely are as I'm sure some of the listeners know, there's some bad drivers out there.
I've seen them.
So we see a lot of car wrecks. We have a lot of slip and falls. There's many different ways that those things can come up, but truthfully, rear enders are for some reason the most common kind of car wreck out there, whether it's distracted driving, people on their phones, or simply not paying attention. But I think rear end car wrecks are probably the most common thing that we see.
And with that being the case, if that's the most common, you know, the sad thing about it is a lot of people out there in Tennessee don't have insurance, don't have auto insurance, which is a little scary.
It is. Last time I checked, we were one of the highest states in the nation with a lack of insurance, which is not a contest you want to win, of course. And the state minimum here is $25,000. So if some folks do have insurance, it's possible that they only have $25,000 to cover your injuries, which is a whole other set of issues. But yes, those are the questions that if you come to our law firm, we're going to start investigating right away. The type of incident you're in, the amount of coverage that is known, and you know the damages that you're looking at.
Only $25,000 in coverage is a little rough.
It is. And how that is recoverable is discovered throughout the case, the process of the lawsuit. One strange thing in Tennessee is you'd think, well, someone rear ends me and I get involved in their insurance company, they're just going to tell me they have $25,000 from the get-go, right?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way,
no,
does it?
No, it doesn't. And Tennessee is one of the only states where they don't do that. It's kind of strange. You'd think we would all like to know what's all going on. So you're left sometimes in the dark a little bit about that.
Hey, I was going to say, with lawsuits in general where somebody gets injured, the thing about, I guess, Tennessee, unlike a lot of states out there, is as a lawyer, you can't contact that company and say, how much is your insurance policy worth? You know, in other words, while I guess the average Joe who's never had an injury, never need to file anything, they think, well, what's the big deal about that? You know, that's a good thing, right? Well, the bad thing about it is, I guess, you don't know what you're going up against. So you may be putting all these hours into this. You may be telling the patient, you do need to go back to the doctor. And here's why. You know, you're pretty badly injured.
But right.
The problem is you don't know the end result as far as, is this guy, is this company, are they going to have enough money to even cover all of these injuries this person has?
And those are a lot of questions that whether you're going to hire the office of John Day or another reputable firm, you should do so, because these are the things that are not easily discoverable on your own. In the industry, we have a way to kind of sort some of these things out. For example, some insurance companies are pretty well known to have higher limits than others. Some are usually affiliated with commercial businesses, which usually have higher limits. And then your other point about how much am I even going to be able to claim is also something that an attorney should be consulted for, because that is something that is not always known right at the outset.
You know, it's funny, since John Day and the different attorneys started coming on the air years ago, I started noticing more and more whenever I go to a store or wherever I am, for some reason, I notice all these issues, you know, like you'll be walking through a grocery store, somebody spilt a fruit or vegetable on the floor, and I'll step in it, of course. Luckily, I don't fall. But I start thinking to myself, man, that's a dangerous little obstacle, even though it may not seem like it to most people. If you were elderly and you stepped on the banana peel, you know, the one we see in the movies, and you fall, that's bad news.
You've learned too much, I think. Danger's around every corner.
It is. It really is.
That kind of awareness is good for everybody. It's good for the folks going into the stores, and hopefully it trickles down into the companies where they have these procedures for, you know, if something spills on the floor, we've got to have team members going by the aisles ever so often to check for those things. You know, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
If you see a banana peel on the floor, that's not, that didn't get there on its own. You know, we've got to be able to remove those from the store floor in time to protect everybody that's coming in.
And the tough thing about saying something these days, it seems like some of these big grocery stores, for example, sometimes, depending on what store you're in, it's hard to find an employee nearby to say, hey, look at this problem over here. You know, somebody's going to hurt themselves.
Yes, yeah, not to mention the, just how big, the, you know, like a Costco or something like that.
It makes it hard.
it is. But most of those companies have standard procedures for how often their employees are supposed to walk the aisles.
Yeah.
So whether it's 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I think they try to do their best when it comes to that. But the cases that we have when it comes to those situations are usually pretty egregious where someone should have done something about it.
Yeah, and then you have those situations that are in business parking lots. And then there's the question, well, is it the owner of the land and the property who's responsible? Is it the store that's sitting there? I mean, who's right. responsible?
These kind of cases we're talking about are called premise liability. They can be slip and falls. They can be trip and falls. And they are some of the hardest category of cases to try and prove for some of those exact reasons that you're mentioning. Who's at fault? How are you going to prove whoever owned that parking lot was supposed to know about anything there? And so those are some facts that we're always trying to flesh out when someone calls us, hey, I had a fall at this store. I had a fall in this parking lot. That's the list of things that we're going to want to know.
In trial, if it makes it to trial, I know most cases don't usually go to trial. They end up settling beforehand. But if it goes to trial, I don't know how the procedure works, but is it up front that you try to figure out, all right, well, my client is 100% not at fault for whatever happened, but the defendant is saying, well, actually, they are at fault by this percentage.
Yeah, great question. And you're spot on. Our firm tracks case statistics across the state, actually. And last time I checked, only 2% of cases go to trial, which is a bummer for the lawyers. It's not so much a bummer for the individual clients because it is a stressful and long drawn out process, of course. But yeah, cases still do get tried. Our firm's tried several over the last couple of years. And when you get there, for us, we would like to not be talking anything about whose fault it is. We would prefer that that is a settled issue and that we're talking about how much is this worth. Now, there are, of course, times where it's a dispute, and that is a challenging case, and you have to have evidence, whether it's through reports, photographs, to counteract the other side's version of events.
Regardless of where you are in a case, and let's say it is a premise liability case, and the defendant, they erased over all security tapes. Just coincidentally, they erased over all security tapes that showed the person getting hurt. And in those types of situations, does the judge, if it makes it to trial, did they say, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and presume this company's at fault because they somehow lost all the evidence of the person falling?
Now, you might think if I fell and there was a video of it and all of a sudden it's disappeared, that it's a bad thing.
I guess it depends, though, on the situation.
Well, in our firm, when we get this kind of call, we are sending letters out to, you know, whether it's a Kroger or what have you, a big box store, saying, if you guys have video, you better preserve it because there is going to be litigation surrounding this. And now it's your burden to do so, okay? If that video disappears, now we're in the territory of there's evidence that's been destroyed. There's evidence that's being purposefully hidden. And if you get to a judge to have that conversation, they will give something called a negative inference to the jury. It's read to them, and it essentially says, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to assume that whatever was on that video was in favor of the plaintiffs. It's unfortunately not here. It's been destroyed. But you are to assume that it was in favor of the person bringing the claim.
You, as an attorney representing this person who got hurt, do you have to go to the judge or go before the courts before it even gets to trial and say, we got a little problem here, the other side, they decided to lose XYZ evidence?
Sometimes. Candidly, when we have a case where we've sent a letter saying hold the video and it somehow has been either destroyed or it disappears, that is a very persuasive negotiation tactic because now we're not talking about our clients injured. We're talking about a corporate cover-up, and that's a different story.
And I guess you're able, during talks with the defendant's side, you're able to say, hey guys, you know, here's a problem we're up against. This guy got hurt, and we don't have the evidence to show exactly how he got hurt. We don't have the mechanism in place because it's gone.
Right, and there is an old case, can't remember if it's accordion or a piece of furniture that fell out of a window and it hit somebody. Nobody knew how it happened, but somehow something fell out of a window, and we all know that's not supposed to happen.
No.
It's a Latin term called res ipsa loquitur, which I can only say correctly once.
There's a lot of Latin terms that are in the law field, aren't there?
Yeah, and that term essentially just means, well, something wrong happened. So that is an extremely rare situation. But
yeah, I don't see a lot of accordions anyway.
No, that's right. But if we're trying to prove up somebody's injuries, it is built by their reports of injury, their treatment at a doctor with records, bills. And then you need a doctor's testimony to support all of that, because you and I can say someone broke their leg, but a doctor has to come in and support that medically this is what happened, and it's from this wreck, or it's from this slip and fall or trip and fall.
I'm sitting here thinking, well, if somebody got hurt, it would seem like the majority of cases involving somebody getting injured, there is a doctor or medical practice of some sort in place, because that person's gotten treatment somewhere, I would hope.
And that's another thing we always recommend to folks. You know, people who get in accidents, it's a traumatic event, right? There's a lot of adrenaline flowing, and at the time of it, whether it's the next couple hours or even a full day, you may not feel like you are injured due to your body's going 100 miles an hour. But we always recommend that folks still get checked out. And oftentimes within 24 hours, someone is having trouble sleeping because of neck or back pain and those kind of things. It's real important to get treatment as close as you can to the event. Of course, if you're not hurt and you're fine, you don't need to do this. But in terms of building your case and making sure that everything is documented correctly, that is the process that you have to go through.
From the outside looking in, I'm obviously not an attorney, but I'm wondering, why would somebody need to go to a lawyer if they weren't injured? I mean, is it just the embarrassment factor of falling down in front of other people?
Definitely, you know, that would be a consideration for each person. There could be other things going on. You know, there's a difference between physical and mental injuries, but one of the requirements for us to sign somebody up is that they have been injured and that they've seen a doctor within a reasonable time since their injury. Otherwise, it just starts to be hard to say that something actually bad happened.
I feel like I'm jumping all around here with questions.
No, you're fine.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there just wondering, because I guess on average, I would say everybody, for the most part, at some point in their life, they're going to fall. They're going to get hurt, or something's going to happen in their life where they're probably questioning themselves, should I turn to an attorney or not? For those out there who haven't fallen yet, hopefully they don't anytime soon, but they do get injured in some way while they're visiting a business, while they're visiting even a friend. You know, it could be anywhere where you get injured. But for those listening who have gotten injured before, or the recently gotten injured, or whatever the case is, what is the first thing they do after they see that first doctor?
They would probably want to follow doctor's orders, of course. If someone is questioning whether or not they should hire an attorney, probably every law firm that I know of that does this kind of work offers free consultations for those kind of things. And if you've fallen in, it's your fault, or you've hurt yourself on your own, obviously you're not going to have a case. So if someone else has caused this, that's a different situation. And when you call into a law firm with these kind of issues, lots of people want to know, hey, how long is this going to take and how much money are we looking at? Those are some of the questions I get, right? Yeah. But one of the other added effects of bringing on a lawyer is there's a lot of behind the scenes work that has to be done, dealing with the hospitals, dealing with insurances, and there's a big stress level that is relieved on someone who is injured trying to get treatment. And do you want to be trying to talk to an insurance adjuster when you've got neck pain?
You probably don't feel like that conversation. But the problem is, I guess with, and I've always heard this, when you're talking to an insurance company that represents the, let's say, business where you fell or got hurt, you got to be careful on what you say, if you say anything at all, because they're recording the conversation. They're professionally trained in knowing what to ask you. And I hate to say it, but they're also probably professionally trained in twisting your words around and asking the questions that makes it look like you're at fault no matter what.
You know, and I've found that maybe just over the years of folks talking about this, that people are up on that now. And you're correct. You will get calls, whether it's from a business or one of the handful of insurance companies out there. But I found that most of our clients refuse to talk to them before they've hired us. And I think that that's known out there. But one of the first things that a law firm would do is send letters out saying, hey, we're representing Mr. Smith in this. Please do not contact him and communicate directly with us only.
Yeah.
So that stops the calls while you're trying to go to the doctor. It stops the calls while you're trying to get your car fixed. And it takes the stress off of you and lets the law firm deal with it.
With us this morning, attorney Thomas Mahalzo with the law firm of John Day. I think a lot of us have stories at some point or another where we did get injured and we didn't call an attorney. We weren't sure what to do, but we tried to navigate it ourselves. And I did that myself a number of years back. I was in a car wreck. I hurt my arm and I didn't think I hurt it that bad. But a month down the road, I had to have surgery on my elbow and they had to move a nerve over because I noticed after the first week, I didn't have any feeling in my left hand. So I went to the orthopedic doctor and all that good stuff. And they said that I had to have surgery and move that nerve back to where it should have been. And I made the mistake of calling the insurance company myself to say, hey, here's where I am. And I just had surgery. I need you guys to help with this because my insurance company was telling me, well, because that happened in an accident. And I said that in the very beginning, they said, well, we're not going to cover you. You're going to have to go through the insurance company of the person who was driving the other car.
I see. Yes. And that situation is very similar to what I was talking about, where symptoms are onset within a day or within the week in your situation. And you would have had a pretty good case from the sounds of it.
I probably would have.
And, you know, what you dealt with in your situation with your own company is common. You know, some folks that we get calls from, they're hesitant to even notify their own insurance company, right? They're afraid that premiums are going to increase or they're going to get dropped for some reason.
I think in general, people in general don't like to ruffle feathers.
Yeah, I think that's right. But, you know, our mantra is what's fair is fair and what's right is right. And that's the only thing that anybody would be asking for in this kind of situation. And, you know, if you've got an insurance company that you've been paying premiums with for 10 years, you know, they have a contractual right in many cases to step in and help you out. That's the whole purpose of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't want to, right? Because
yeah.
It's money out of their pocket. But that's the whole point. So when folks call me with trepidation about doing this, I often encourage them, like, this is what you've paid for. This is why you have it. And you've done a good job of having it. Now let's talk about how we get this over the finish line.
Hindsight is always perfect. You know, your vision is absolutely clear in hindsight. And yeah, don't do what I do. Because in the end result was it wasn't a massive surgery or anything. It was a day surgery, you know, where you go in and you're out that day, rather. But it cost me, I think, out of pocket around 15 to 20 grand. I mean, in the long scheme of things, about that's how much I spent. And I remember very clearly calling that insurance company a week after the surgery, a month after, because I continued to call. And they flat out told me, we're not going to reimburse you for that. We don't believe it was our driver's fault.
Yes. And I have had folks call and say, hey, you know, this company's called me and they're willing to pay some money for me. And I said, oh, wow, really? Okay, great. And how much are they? Well, they're going to give me $1,000. They're going to give me $5,000.
Enough
and,
to fix the car, barely.
Yeah.
You know?
And what happens after that is when someone says, well, now I have to have a surgery or I need an injection, you get radio silence or no, that's not related.
It's a horrible feeling.
It is. And so what folks need to know is there's usually limits for what those companies are willing to offer you beforehand. Some may say it's go away money or hush money, but I think that there are people that take it and that's why they keep offering it. So I would just caution folks to be careful with that situation and you don't want to leave anything on the table.
Yeah.
And taking quick money is not a way to get a full result.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I didn't even take quick money. I got the amount of money it cost to fix my car, you know, but I tried to get the money for the medical part of it. And I shouldn't have tried it on my own because I did mess up and they were so rude to me on the phone.
Were they really?
They
wow.
were. Yeah, it was horrible.
Well, the other thing is medical bills are tricky or medical treatment's tricky. Like one of those instances where I never filed a lawsuit against somebody was I broke my ribs on the back of a jet ski one time.
Oh.
It was one of my friend's fault, of
yeah.
course. I wasn't going to sue him for it. But and, you know, there's not too much treatment you can do for broken ribs. So when folks come in and say, well, I've got all these bills, there's a whole other aspect of how that affected you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have broken ribs, they're going to say, go home and get some rest. And that rest can last for 3 months of not being able to sleep.
You know, I noticed 6 months down the road, I found myself being angry at not really the other driver, because I understand accidents happen. I was angry at that insurance company.
Sure.
I did look back and I thought to myself, that was just wrong.
Yeah, that sounds like a wrong situation. And the anger and frustration, you know, let's just say you had been sent to physical therapy. There's great physical therapists around town, but you got to go down there every day. You got to read the same magazines that they've got.
It takes time.
It weighs on you. And that is a part of the pain and suffering category of damages that you can try to claim, because it's not just what a doctor has on a receipt. There's a whole other category of how this has affected you and, you know, how are you going to live on after this?
You know, I think it's situations like that that people go through that makes them realize that there's a big need out there for lawyers and their help in cases like that, because in the bigger scheme of things, we can't let just people walk all over us, especially if they cause some type of injury to us and they didn't do anything about it.
Right. The last line of defense, right? I'm thinking of a particular case where someone, you know, and this has happened multiple times, where their insurance company is communicating with them and they're sending them letters and they're sending them bills. And you've probably heard before, but we've got the shortest statute of limitations in the nation, which just means you have 1 year to bring a lawsuit from any kind of case involving a car wreck or a slip and fall, that kind of thing. And you're sending your letters, you're giving them all the records. And as you get closer to that year, they're waiting to see if you're going to do the right thing and hire a lawyer and get it on, or it's just going to go away.
It will.
And that's kind of the risks and dangers out there that folks may not realize from the jump.
Again, with us this morning in studio, we have attorney Thomas Mahalzo from the law firm of John Day. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I'm curious, what are some of the different steps that folks should take if they do get injured? And let's say it is at a company, at a business, or at the hands of some professional driver, you know, like a UPS driver or FedEx or you name it, you know. Let's talk more about that in just a second. We're going to be right back talking about legal cases, legal issues, and our phone number if you want to text in any questions, 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come see us for all your fall gardening and home needs. We have everything you need to make that yard look beautiful, whether it be grass seed, fertilizer, or anything to decorate that yard. We have everything you need to make your lawn beautiful. The Co-op Farm and Home Center is located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. Weekend shoppers were open from 7 to 2 on Saturdays. And remember, you don't have to be a member to shop with us.
Hi, Murfreesboro. This is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. This is the time of year where we have lots of amazing adoptable cats and kittens. So if there is a furry feline companion in your future, come in and see us. We are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, we have lots of amazing adoptable cats and kittens. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, family owned and operated.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, The Good Neighbor Network. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Attorney Thomas Mihalzo is on the air with us today from the law firm of John Day. So when somebody does get injured in some way, and this is the other aspect about lawyers, about trial lawyers, that is interesting to me, and I didn't realize this until I was a little bit older, reading articles and understanding more about law. You guys are responsible for a lot of change that happens around the country. I mean, if somebody is getting injured in some way or another, then there's another similar injury involving the same type of product, the same type of store, halfway across the country. I noticed that it's often trial attorneys who put forth the effort to change the laws or to change the way a product is made or sold. Or you're responsible in a lot of ways for making things safer.
I could have not have said it better myself. You know, on the national level, you see a lot of folks are familiar with class action cases. Those are situations where a large group of people have suffered injury through something, whether it's a bad kind of drug. I know there was a big 3M litigation going on. So there are things that affect a lot of people. There's a whole thing of Roundup cases going on where those kind of national level litigation really pushes companies to change their behavior. And beyond that, here at the local level, I know that there are certain companies that have had to change the way they do things, or they just simply have old practices that need updated. And unfortunately, despite everyone's best efforts, the some ways that their inconsistencies or shortcomings get exposed is through someone's injury.
And sometimes we see laws change, you know, locally within a state just based off of one case because that person got injured bad enough to where their family or that attorney involved wants to make a difference.
Right. I think I'm remembering now last time we were here, I talked about dog bite cases. Mm-hmm. And in Tennessee, one of the major changes to the dog bite laws happened after, I believe it was a teacher in rural Tennessee was unfortunately attacked and she passed away from the attack. And after that, and the law is in her name, Tennessee changed some of the dog bite laws to, you know, to afford better coverage for folks and that kind of thing.
So let's say somebody does get injured in some way at a company, at a factory, wherever it is they get injured, and they're seeing different medical doctors. Turns out they have to have surgery. They have to have then some kind of corrective surgery down the line. But in those situations, what are the steps of that case? I mean, because you have discovery, and a lot of times people are having their surgery procedures during that discovery process.
Yeah, great question. There's a whole timeline and a whole life of a lawsuit that folks probably have heard a little bit about, but it's not something you really can appreciate the details of until you unfortunately have to go through it. So the first part is a position paper, a lawsuit being filed, which just sets forth the allegations that you are making about what happened. After that is filed, a response will be made within 30 days or so with the bad driver, with the company, with the owner of the business, whatever it is you're suing. It will be their time to respond to the allegations. And these are numbered paragraphs, right? So we're saying number one, Ms. Smith was hurt. Number two, it was on Tuesday. And the defense will come in and respond, admitting or denying each one of those paragraphs. And that's the first part where everyone will decide and figure out what issues are actually in dispute.
During this whole discovery window, the window of time that you have in order to say, all right, well, we just found out we also have to add this to the case because we just learned about this injury through the doctor that did the surgery. But during this time frame, does the defendant, do they have a chance or do they have the right to say, hey, we want our own doctor to take a look at this guy?
Yes, and the discovery process is written and oral. So written questions are exchanged between the parties and candidly filtered through the lawyers. In other words, the defense lawyer will look at what we send, answer them, and run it by their client. We do the same. And then there can be oral discovery, which is in the form of a deposition, which is just a formal interview. I'm going to one after I get done here about what happened. And they would ask you, you know, where were you? You know, what happened? What injuries do you have? That kind of thing. Then you would move on to a doctor to support those injuries that you are claiming. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not a doctor, you're not a doctor. We have to have a medical professional come in and say, this is what happened medically, and it was caused by this incident. And a defense lawyer, a defense firm, they also have the ability to do that. They can hire their own doctor to examine you, or they can hire a doctor just to review your records. It can go one of both ways. But more often than not, what I'm seeing most recently is they will just choose to pick holes in your own doctor. They will choose to just not hire their own and try to attack our position.
And I guess if the injury's bad enough, that person getting treated, they probably have a team of doctors. You know, I mean, if it's a bad injury, I could see where you'd have a surgeon, you'd have primary care, you would have a lot of doctors involved.
Think of it kind of as like a pyramid. Some of the doctors at the top, like an orthopedic surgeon, is most likely the best person to talk about a surgical injury. You wouldn't necessarily want an ER doctor to testify to a surgery that happens later,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
So that's going to be picking and choosing who you're going to use as your doctor is one of the big decisions in any case. And our firm, we're usually trying to use someone that's actually treated you. Like I mentioned, defense lawyers, sometimes they'll hire folks that just to review your records and won't even ever see you. And not to say, I mean, plaintiffs do this too, but we try to, as best as we can, get the actual doctor that treated you and talk to you about your case.
So on the defendant side, even if they were to hire a doctor to give you a physical exam to overlook all the injuries that you had, to me, it seems like it wouldn't really hold a can of beans because of the fact that they've got this one doctor who the defendant happens to be paying out of their pocket to say either this injury didn't happen or the result of that accident did not cause this injury versus this patient over here who's got like five different doctors treating them and that's ongoing treatment.
And what you're getting at is something called the battle of the experts. And this is a large portion of, especially a complex trial, this can be a huge portion of what the dispute is about. Now, in my experience, I just mentioned that oftentimes I will find that they try to poke holes in your own doctor's testimony, because I've had it where they do hire somebody and their doctor will agree with 80% of our theory or 80% of our allegations.
Which so the jury says, oh, wow, they're being fair.
Yeah, well, and we say, well, they've agreed to almost everything, but they just don't want to say that it was caused by this for some reason.
Yeah.
And that is because they don't want to pay for it.
I don't see how one doctor sitting over here on the side for the defendant is going to be able to overcome whatever argument you have if you've got five other doctors who say, well, not only have we seen this patient, we've been seeing them for the past year.
Yeah, you bring up, and that's why we try to use the actual doctors that have put hands on folks, that have taken your medical history, that have known you before this whole incident ever happened. That's on one side of this. And then if you have somebody that's hired or used for one specific instance to look at records, who is more credible is a question for a jury. I tend to think it would be the treating doctor. But every case is different, and sometimes we are hiring doctors for whatever reason, and you know, we hire them to look at records just like a defense firm would. So it can all change in each kind of case, and it sort of depends. It depends on the client too. Sometimes there's stuff contained in those records that are not favorable or they're not believable, you know? So it all is a big body of work. But the experts often, they can cancel each other out. One can really destroy the other, or it can be a wash. If it's a wash, you really want to have a client that's very believable and likable and that people think, hey, this isn't coming out of left field.
I know we only have like a minute and a half left, but for somebody out there who has been injured, maybe they already had a pre-existing injury to begin with, but this accident they just recently had made all the symptoms of that pre-existing injury 10 times worse. If they're thinking, I can't sue because I already had this injury from 10 years ago. That's not the case, right?
It's not. And the good news is that the law accounts for that exact situation. Sometimes it's an aggravation of a pre-existing injury. And you can have cases where someone has a new injury and an aggravation of a pre-existing one. I'm not sure what would be worse, just new injuries or, yeah, or both. Or, but if you're dealing with all of those things, there's certainly an avenue for you to recover.
Again, with us this morning, attorney Thomas Mahalzo. And once more, you're with the law firm of John Day. So if anybody is listening and they maybe were injured in something, if they would like to talk to you about the idea of pursuing a lawsuit or trying to figure out what to do, can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, we're located at the Murfreesboro Center Parkway, 1639, and our office phone number there is 615-867-9900.
And there's a no charge just to ask, you know, hey, what direction should I head?
Absolutely not.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
WTNS. WTNS. AM. AM. FM. FM. Online. WTNS. 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 WTNS.